So far, we have been reflecting on the four gifts of the Holy Spirit relating to the human intellect, namely wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and counsel. The last three gifts are for the human will. And the first of these is fortitude. We begin by observing that the gift of fortitude implies that doing the will of God is not easy. It explains that there are obstacles to doing God's will faithfully. These obstacles can be from the very nature of what is to be done. There are easy tasks and there are hard tasks. Again, the difficulty will arise from our fallen human nature. Natural tendency, spontaneous, built in, is to do our own wills. Again, the difficulty in doing God's will, as you've been seeing, comes from the world. The world, I never tire repeating, is the attractive, sinful behavior of other people. We all want to be accepted. Human respect is a spontaneous human instinct. And more deeply and dearly we love someone, the more we want to, what else, to please that person. Unfortunately, not everyone whom we love is always, what a safe statement, always doing God's will. Again, the difficulty will arise and surrounds us, envelops us, is the machination of the evil spirit. If there is one technique of the evil spirit, it is to make doing our wills pleasant and doing the will of God difficult. And the difficulty may not be objective. The difficulty can be very deeply subjective. All kinds of imaginary, all kinds of imaginary difficulties, the old spirit can, shall I say, inspire. Again, the obstacles or difficulties will arise from God's plan for us. And God's plan, let's be clear, God's plan is not only for our own salvation. God's plan is that we might be channels for the salvation and sanctification of others. In some people's lives, these divine plans are less demanding, in others, more demanding. Finally, obstacles will arise when God's designs are what He wants done, and not just by us, what He wants done. Can there be any doubt God's plan for our nation is to convert our beloved country back to God? And reconverting people is much more difficult, to put it mildly, than just converting people. To reconvert an apostate Catholic is much more difficult than to convert, say, a Protestant or a Jew. I know from experience. Is by way of introduction. Now we ask what? What is this gift of fortitude? Let's be clear. There is a virtue of fortitude. One of the formal virtues, as we've seen, prudence of the mind, or the will, justice, temperance, and fortitude. The virtue of fortitude is a virtue which enables us to overcome our fears, just as a virtue of temperance is the power we have to control our desires, to temper, to control, to master our desires. Or the virtue of fortitude to master our fears. The gift of fortitude, however, as we've been saying, the gift divine inclinations, supernatural, which perfect the virtues, in this case, the gift of fortitude perfects, elevates, supernaturalizes the virtue of fortitude. It is, therefore, the gift of fortitude that supernatural inclination which enables our wills to do and hear the word, to do great things for God, and do these with joy, without fear, and in spite of all obstacles. Behind the gift of fortitude is the implication we're not just living a natural life. We're living a supernatural life, a superhuman life. And I keep repeating, a naturally impossible life. Over my 50 years in the priesthood, I have, in God's providence, dealt with some very, very difficult situations. And I keep telling people, the more difficult, the more demanding, the more humanly impossible the conditions in which God places you, the more holy He wants you to become. And that is the infallible teaching of the Catholic Church. Now, what does this gift of fortitude enable us to do? rule of action. Enables us to activate, to put into practice, and even enjoy doing what, I repeat, naturally speaking, he would not, I don't say want to do, he would not do. Be clear to want to do what is demanded, not because it is naturally pleasant. If there is one distinction I'd like to make clear during this retreat, it is there are two kinds of satisfaction. Call it two kinds of joy. There is natural joy and is legitimate. Eating of a hearty meal. Having a good, strong, healthy body. But there is also a satisfaction that does not come from nature. All I can do is repeat words, and I am still learning day after day, growing in my own understanding of the faith I profess. And what I'm learning as the years go on is there is a joy, there is a happiness of which the world knows nothing. And this fortitude of which we are speaking provides us with joy in doing not just the naturally hard things. I want to emphasize the naturally impossible things. Having written a 500-page unpublished book on miracles, having taught the theology of miracles, we are to live nothing less than miraculous lives. And a miracle, by definition, is that which exceeds the powers of nature, the powers of physical nature, like walking on water, the powers of mental nature, like understanding the mysteries of faith without having yet, in some cases, even any ordinary education, like Catherine of Siena, like the most recently declared Doctor of the Universal Church, never studied beyond what we call grammar school, a Doctor of the Church, which means a teacher of the church. That's an intellectual miracle. But we are here speaking of living a morally miraculous life. And the word morality is a perfect synonym in the Catholic vocabulary with liberty. The will being capable of choosing and loving things which the human will would never desire, never choose, and least of all, never love. This gift of fortitude enables us, and I mean it, to love the cross. mind of the sciences, psychology, and a pseudoscience of psychotherapy as a pseudoscience. I know them too well not to know that those, please God, like us, who are trying to do God's will beyond what the human reason could even conceive. I know too many people who have been institutionalized in mental asylums because they lived, what shall I say, a deeply spiritual life. This gift of fortitude enables us to enjoy doing what, I repeat, naturally speaking, would make us run away from, and not just run away from, but dread, not even think about. This gift of fortitude enables us to suffer, accept, put up with, not avoid, not run away from, and not fear or dread. In the depths of our souls, what is contrary to our own will. If there is one underlying theme for this retreat, it is to realize there is only one warfare in the church militant on earth. Only one, between two wills. The will of God and our will. Let me be still more clear. I'm still on the heart. To be stressed is that this gift of fortitude is a super yielding gift. It is not only the grace of resigning ourselves, not only the grace of patience, as we've said so often, is a voluntary acceptance of pain. All right, I'll take it. It is not only the gift of endurance, not even just the gift of courage in passively accepting what is unpleasant. In the next sentence, I have to say, otherwise I would not be honest. The gift of fortitude is a positive desire to love God as He has chosen to love us. If there's one phrase that should penetrate every fiber of our body and every faculty of our soul, it is St. Paul's statement speaking of the Son of God, having joy set before Him, He chose the cross. We too, I hesitate, the audiences, I don't use this language sense prudence. But his gift of fortitude enables us, with the grace of God, to choose, to prefer, to select, to elect what involves pain. And pain, I repeat, is whatever is contrary to the human will. And the principal meaning of pain is not pain of the body. To prefer what is more demanding in our will, prefer that. That's the gift of fortitude. And by implication, in no question of sin, and give retreats, I tell people, as I'm telling you, the single most important word is the word more. More than I have to do, more than I'm obliged to do, more than God's preceptive will commands me to do. So much for the heart. Now, the necessity for those who are to give their whole hearts to God. In the language of the Bible, the heart stands for the will. Giving their whole wills to God. Christian faith places demands of them providential opportunities to go beyond not just the natural law, but even beyond what we call the precepts of the gospel. Have not read, read the document of the present Holy Father on what he calls Vita Consecrata, the consecrated life. For the first time in papal history, the present Vicar of Christ tells believing Catholics that to live a consecrated life is not only reserved for those whom over the centuries we've called, well, consecrated persons, like who? Like members of religious institutes, like members of religious communities, like the monks or the nuns. Consecrated life, of course, belongs also, with emphasis, to those who under vow have consecrated their lives beyond what even according to the precepts of the gospel, Christ wants us to do, says John Paul II. The consecrated life is now open to all followers of Christ. And the need for living this consecrated life is because the world has become so plagued with evil, so penetrated by the untruth, that someone had better be living, I repeat, create a superhuman life, a life of such generosity, such self-sacrifice as never before. And I think I should share this statement with you. The gift of fortitude is the gift of martyrdom. As I've said before, and I'll keep repeating, I know no pope in history who has spoken and written at such length about the need for martyrs in the world today as a present vicar of Christ. And believe me, he, the pope, is living a martyr's life. Implying, therefore, this gift of fortitude is a duty we have to witness to Christ and pain for our fidelity by, what language am I using? By enduring a living death and death to self. Let me be very clear. Denying to self, not by surrendering our wills to another human being. But surrendering ourselves to the will of God. But notice, it is not just living such a life, but witnessing to this, and I repeat, the heroic following of Christ. You might be thinking, Father, please, I know you give retreats to religious. A retreat recently to the Carmelites in Dallas, Texas. And we're not religious. That's right. You're not. In the technical sense. But you are to live. And I believe this is the first time I'm stressing this. What I'm doing now in a retreat to lay people. We ought to live a consecrated life by witnessing to the power of a divine grace to a world that is, what word shall I use? Mesmerized, hypnotized. Should I even say possessed by the evil spirit whose principle, that's PL, the adjective, and PLE, the noun, whose principle is your greatest joy comes from doing your own will. That is a demonic lie. But my friends, you don't just, in my case, use these words. In your case, hear what I am saying. To live this, we need extraordinary grace. And the gift of fortitude is God's infallible assurance that we will be given this grace But we have been given the power to resist our own wills, master our wills, and totally surrender the will of God to the will of God, where we ourselves would want or prefer. You husbands and fathers, loving a miraculous married life. I know too many married people, too many husbands and wives, not to know to live a Christ-like married life in our day is for many to live, and I mean it, a martyr's life. In our nation, in which, as I've said, more than one half of our American marriages statistically end in divorce. Their contraception is the law of our nation. We have the bishops in 1968, just 30 years ago, this month, Pope Paul VI issued Humanae Vitae, the American hierarchy, pages of holy water dripping piety, smelled of incense, told the Pope to mind his own papal business. And as Pope Paul VI predicted, once you practice contraception, abortion is the next logical step. And the heretic priest who wrote the document for the bishops has spoken out twice at Detroit at the anniversary celebration of the call to action. Thank God he left the active priesthood. This gift of fortitude must be lived by all of us. Bishops, priests, religious, and the lay faithful. But I repeat, this gift of fortitude is to witness to the world, witness to what? Witness to the fact that God became man, hear it, God became man in order to enable man to live the life that only God can give the strength and the wisdom to live here on earth. This is what converted the pagan world at the dawn of Christianity. As one lay Christian writer of the early 2nd century wrote, we Christians keep our lives. We Christians do not kill our children. We Christians pray our persecutors. Is that kind? chain of virtue made possible by the gift of fortitude and converted a very pagan, hostile, cruel Roman Empire. That's the kind of fortitude we must practice. I never tire repeating, our age is the, capital T, capital H, capital E, the age of wonders. When God became man, you would think of the whole world, and mind you, his own chosen people. The Magi came from the East. They figured, since the newborn king of Israel would be somewhere in Palestine, they largely came to Jerusalem. They looked up to them, king of the Jewish people. Guess what? Herod did not even know where the Messiah would be born. For centuries, for the coming of Christ, the Jewish people had departed far from the faith of the patriarchs and prophets. As I keep repeating, when Christ came into the world, he had to flee for his life. I cannot tell you how crucially how crucially important it is to know that the world hates Christ and hates Christians. Do we ever need fortitude? I don't say as if it enables us to enjoy suffering for Christ, even to survive, even to keep our sanity. I know exactly what I am talking about. Would not dare identify either the bishop or the priest, but a priest who is trying to serve God faithfully is being ordered by his bishop to undergo psychiatric therapy. He's got only one problem. He wants to be faithful to Jesus Christ. Now, baby retreat, part 3. How are we to cultivate? And notice, it is not a question of acquiring this gift, provided as we may assume we are in the same place, we have the gift of fortitude. But we are to cultivate, grow in the possession of this gift. God chooses the weak. A assume, just assume, that my own natural powers, that how naturally intelligent may be, or how strong you will maybe. We are weak when it comes to living faithfully. Both our Christian faith, as I keep repeating, and going beyond the precepts, even of the gospel. How to cultivate the gift of fortitude. Keep reminding yourself and keep telling Lord, Lord, I am weak. That's why God allows us to sin. What a statement. We need sin. What a statement. We need sin to keep reminding us of our weakness. How then to grow in his gift of fortitude. The most powerful source of strength to grow in the gift of fortitude is the Holy Eucharist. And the Holy Eucharist, as I keep repeating, because the present Pope keeps repeating, the Eucharist on three levels. The Eucharist as sacrifice, the Eucharist as communion, and the Eucharist as presence. The Eucharist as sacrifice. Oh, how well I know how our Catholic priests pray for priests. I believe never in the history of Christianity has the devil been so seductively successful in bewitching priests as in our century. Without priests, there could be no sacrifice of the Mass. Assisted Mass, as Mass is offered. And the Holy Eucharist as sacrifice, sacrament, gives us the grace to live lives of self-surrender. How many of you could finish this sentence? The capacity of the human mind to forget is? Let me repeat. The capacity of the human mind to forget is?
Infinite.
Infinite. At least don't forget that. I keep repeating, there are four essential words to the meaning of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the voluntary, with the will, voluntary, surrender, giving up. What is precious? Forth to God. 2,000 years of Christianity have coined that definition. And the sacrifice, sacrament of the Mass, provides us with the strength we need to live lives of sacrifice.
true freely, voluntarily, willingly, dare I even say, joyfully, surrender, let go of what is precious. And what's the most precious possession you've got? Is our own self-will. As I've said before, you husbands, before you married, you may have suspected, maybe perhaps women have a stronger will than men. Any husband who does not know that is not living in a real world. But then, this surrender of our wills must be according to the will of God. If God's will is involved, tell your husbands, tell your wives, Mabel, I love you dearly, Jean, I love Jesus Christ more. Am I clear? The gift of fortitude provides us with the courage, the strength we need to do God's will, even at what a price we may have to pay, even to not conform to the wills of those we may dearly and deeply love. The Eucharist, I repeat, is our principal source of grace to allow his gift of fortitude. Communion. In communion, the living God who became man comes into not just our souls, but our bodies. I never tire telling people, the moment we receive Holy Communion, the same identical Jesus whom Mary conceived in the womb and carried for 9 months is the same Jesus Christ in our bodies when we have received Holy Communion. And believe that. There are books now, I repeat with imprimaturs, used in seminaries that undermine that fundamental truth of our faith. My Holy Communion, that we might give ourselves to others, it is God became man to give himself to us. The Holy Eucharist has presence. How we need to spend, and I beg you to make a resolution to spend some time, if it is possible, every day before the Blessed Sacrament. As I've said on a previous occasion, a bishop friend of mine wrote the feature article for the Priest magazine some time ago. The front cover of the magazine had a picture of two locked doors of a church, chained shut. The greatest, so the bishop wrote, the greatest tragedy in the Catholic Church today is closed churches. Under instructions of the Holy See, we are promoting Eucharistic adoration. And in Chicago, there are now two directories for the Archdiocese of Chicago. One, a list of all the parishes where there is perpetual Eucharistic adoration. Another directory where there is Eucharistic adoration, but not 7 days and 7 nights every week. And Cardinal George strongly promotes it, and I say, called me up some time ago and said, resist all criticism to the contrary. And the mission statement of the John Paul II Association of Eucharistic Adoration, the mission statement includes Eucharistic education. We organize to start this fall, and the center will be, oh no, the Archdiocese of Chicago. I could say more, but I'll save that for the question and answer period. How are we to grow in his gift of fortitude? I keep repeating, but it is because it is so necessary. Pray, ask our Lord to see everything in our lives as coming from Him. In every situation, God is behind us. In every circumstance, God is behind us. In every pain, God is behind us. And please, don't forget the theological definition of pain. In a class, I would begin to quiz you. Pain is whatever is contrary to our wills. And fortitude is the gift which enables us not only to endure, but to enjoy. Oh, watch your language. To enjoy what we endure. The deepest joy on earth is to suffer for the one we love. And the deepest of this deep joy is to suffer out of love for God. You don't know how to cultivate his gift of fortitude. Expect difficulties. But another imperative, expect miracles. We need heroic courage. Not only as I keep saying to survive, but to thrive on the very difficulties that God, in his wonderful and mysterious providence, puts into our lives. How we need to not just hear, but believe Christ's words. this shall all men know that you are my disciples. By carrying your cross, God became man to carry the cross to him. And the cross, I keep repeating, for the obvious reason that we keep forgetting. The cross is a verb. God crossing our wills. He knows our wills. He knows exactly how to cross these wills of ours. But provided we have the faith to see God beneath, above, within everything in our lives, then I repeat, we not only endure and resign ourselves to the cross, we will not just accept the cross, watch it. We will choose the cross. We will choose that which is more demanding, another D, more difficult. Not because it's hard. Let's be honest, we're not masochists. We are Christians. But because we thereby show our love for God. When we finish this retreat, be sure to at least mentally make an inventory of the people who enter your life, from the most pleasant to the most painful. Who do you like to talk to? It's obvious. Who do you spontaneously, dare I say it, avoid? Lord Jesus, you know our lives far better than we do. And you know that we're going to prove our love for you, we must prefer, but how demanding it may be on our wills, prefer what is the most unpleasant. Jesus, what is most unpleasant to us? Because, and if it is pleasing to you, but we need your help constantly. Jesus, my strength. Jesus, my courage. Jesus, my fortitude. Help me. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let us pray.